With WMUK News, I'm Gordon Evans. Over the past few summers, Michigan farmers have run into a problem. The Hispanic workers they rely on to pick and harvest their crops seem to be disappearing. The shortage has forced farmers to search for out-of-the-box solutions, including a federal visa program for temporary agricultural workers. But as WMUK's Robbie Feinberg reports in the second part of our series, neither farmers nor migrant workers are very happy about the change.
A day on the farm may sound relaxing, but spend a few hours at Leitz Farms in Sodus near Benton Harbor, and you'll probably end up exhausted. The constant picking, transporting, packing, and shipping requires more than 200 workers at the peak of summer. So when owner Fred Leitz couldn't find enough workers a few years ago, it was his worst-case scenario. He left 60 acres of tomatoes rotting on the vine. The total cost, $300,000.
That was rough. You know, we were 30% short on people that year, and it just, that was rough.
Leitz couldn't take a loss like that again.
So this past year we said, you know what, if we're going to keep farming, we have got to use the H-2A program.
The H-2A program, that's an agricultural labor term that needs a little explanation. The H-2A visa program was established by the Federal Department of Labor to bring in temporary foreign agricultural workers when there aren't enough in the states. For a bunch of reasons, more education and tighter immigration, to name a few, fewer migrant workers seem to be coming to Michigan from places like Texas and Florida. It's not an unexpected problem. Leitz says over the past 20 years, he started seeing the labor force get more and more undocumented. He started pushing for a federal bill to legalize them instead of kicking them out.
You know, they're just, it was always not the right time. Congress, I don't think they want to do it because they can push it back to the Democrats, to the Republicans, to the president, and it's just a game for them.
So without anything happening in Washington and no other real options on the horizon, Leitz and other Michigan farmers are finally saying yes to the H-2A program. The total number of authorized H-2A job orders in Michigan skyrocketed this year to almost 2,500. That's still only around 5% of the estimated number of migrant and seasonal farm workers in the state. But it's about double the number Michigan had last year. For Leitz, he applied to bring in 110 workers, about half of his workforce. So, problem solved, right? Well, not so fast.
There's nobody jumping around and happy to be doing this.
Katie Rash was brought on this year by the Michigan Farm Bureau to oversee its farm labor contracting service, which helps lead Michigan farmers through the H-2A process.
It is very tedious and does take a lot on the grower's part to make a lot of changes and file a lot of paperwork. We're trying to take some of that away from them, but it is a big change, and it's something that they are really only turning to because it's the only option they see.
Paperwork, deadlines, new expenses, and federal regulations on housing and wages. Burdens so large that for years, the Farm Bureau resisted the H-2A program. But after a successful pilot program last year, the Bureau has decided to take a new approach, teaching and training farmers how to use the H-2A program to fill gaps in their workforce. But the growth of the H-2A program leaves migrant advocates worried. They're concerned about what it could mean to farm workers who are already here. I met one migrant farm worker named Minerva. She wanted to leave out her last name because she's worried about retaliation.
Well, I stopped being a migrant like for 2 years because my mom, she was going through cancer, chemos and things like that. And then this year we decided to go back.
When she arrived at a farm in Hart this year, though, the work wasn't good. Immediately, she says, she was screamed and yelled at. She'd worked at some good camps, she says, but this wasn't one of them.
I try my best to do good, and my girls and my sister, and we would never have them happy.
They were pushed so hard, she says, that her daughter developed blisters, chapped lips, and got dehydrated from the long days. For almost 3 months, they pushed through, but the work dried up at the beginning of July. When that happened, she says, it was the foreign workers on H-2A visas who got most of the work that was left, not domestic workers like her.
They would work more hours, like maybe 3 days, and we would only get like 1 day. And we found out because one of the guys that goes, you know, they don't give you guys hours. And I said, I know, you know, I do get upset because I come from far away, you know, and they promise work.
Minerva tried to stay positive, but eventually she says it wasn't worth it. She left.
Then we decided. I said, you know what? Let's pass. So we left. We left at night.
Daniel and Kia, one of the managing attorneys with Kalamazoo-based Farmworker Legal Services, says there are good things about the H-2A program. For one thing, it has contracts that spell out exactly how farmers need to treat their workers. But he says he's already heard too many stories of domestic workers losing hours. He worries that the H-2A program is a slippery slope that could leave domestic workers at a disadvantage.
It'd take a lot of education, a lot of training to really get in the mindset of putting applications of U.S. workers on the same footing as the foreign workers.
So far, though, the state says it's yet to see many problems come to light. Marcy Alling, the Foreign Labor Certification Officer for Michigan's Workforce Development Agency, says the only H-2A issues have been isolated, no patterns.
By the nature of having more H-2As, there might be a slightly higher volume of those concerns, but it's not an across-the-board issue. So far, we haven't found anything that was of serious issue that required sanctioning or anything that we're aware of.
But it's not just what may happen to domestic workers that leaves advocates worried. Tom Thornburg is a managing attorney with Farmworker Legal Services. His biggest concern is the growth of out-of-state farm labor contractors. Those are companies that hire workers without a fixed farm site. Thornburg says the state went from zero out-of-state contractors in 2012 to 9 this year, with enough job orders to bring in nearly 1,000 H-2A workers. To him, that's not a good trend.
I see it as just an extremely dangerous situation, not just for the workers, but for the public, because we really are losing track of where these foreign workers are going, what they're doing when they're up here. If no one here in Michigan, you know, we can call up and say, Farmer Brown, this is happening, and you're responsible, because they're really hired by these foreign out-of-state labor contractors. And when they're here, they're not housed typically on the farmer's farm that they're working on. They're housed in motels, typically.
It's those motels that worry the state's Interagency Migrant Services Committee. Earlier this year, the committee sent a letter to the state's Workforce Development Agency. The committee was concerned about a contractor that applied to bring in workers on H-2A visas. The contractor wanted its workers to work in Michigan but live in Indiana. That by itself isn't a problem. But the committee also heard reports that this contractor had double bunked its workers in an Indiana hotel last year. That means it housed them 2 to a bed, which is against the law in Michigan. The Workforce Development Agency replied to the letter, saying that the Federal Department of Labor had investigated the problem and no findings were issued. However, documents obtained by WMUK show the issue is more complex. According to the documents, the Department of Labor found that the contractor was double-bunking related workers. This wasn't technically illegal in Indiana, but in Michigan the law is clear. In single-sex labor camps, it's one man to a bed, no double-bunking. Matthew Wiesaw, the director of Michigan's Department of Civil Rights, says he thinks it's pretty obvious why the contractor opted for Indiana.
It's clear, in my opinion, that the reason they're housing them out of state is to get away from the better regulations that Michigan has, again, to protect the health and dignity of the farm worker.
When we spoke with the contractor, she told us she simply couldn't find housing in Michigan, so she had to opt for Indiana. But she says she's planning to stop double-bunking workers next year. The State Workforce Development Agency says this was the first incident of its kind, but it's prompted the agency to create a new procedure. Now, if a contractor wants to have its farm workers work in Michigan but live in Indiana, Michigan will immediately contact Indiana's health department to inspect the housing. So where does this leave the future of the visa program? It'll probably continue to grow. Rash with the Michigan Farm Bureau says she expects the program to at least double in the near future. And despite these incidents, Alling says the H-2A program is actually making farmers be more consistent.
They're accountable. And any of us at the state level or the federal level can come in at any point and ask them questions or look into what they're doing, and they have to be able to show us that they're doing it.
As for Fred Leitz, the farmer with the rotting tomatoes, he says the jury's still out on just how successful the program will be for him. But knowing his workforce is legal means he can finally relax a little bit.
I'm sleeping a lot better this year, okay? That's the bottom line. It's cost a lot more money, but I'm sleeping a lot better.
For WMUK, I'm Robbie Feinberg.